Got a few other things going, so Dan was praying that maybe somebody might come. So anyway, it's good to be here. Let's just ask God to help us. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We do thank you. It's a beautiful, it truly is beautiful, how you make the weather and the changes. As already said, we thank you for bringing us here safely and pray that later you'll take us home safely. And Father, for all the people, all the dear ones that have great needs, those have been mentioned, we lift them up to your perfect care. We pray, obviously we don't know each situation in depth, we pray for salvation for those who do not know you. And we pray for strength for those who are struggling physically and encouragement, comfort in the midst of difficulty. Father, we just ask tonight as we come together, we thank you for your book, your truth. We just pray that by your Spirit you will open our hearts, our eyes, our understanding, that you will transform us, Father, more and more, that we'll be a people who keep growing by way of your word, through your Spirit. So we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This week I had the opportunity to spend a little time with Norm in the hospital. And obviously he's struggling a lot with his dizziness. But at that particular point, he said the dizziness kind of hits him, and then he never knows when it's coming. But anyway, he was feeling fairly good when we had a visit, so that was nice, and sitting there. Anyway, we just talked about a variety of things. But one thing he mentioned was when this assembly started, when this chapel started, this local church started, there were, and I'm sure Don and others would know this, there were about three different churches or assemblies that drew people from to come here. And so you had diversity, right, and different perspectives. But Norm said one of the joys, and I'm not exactly sure the terminology, but there was always a sense on the early beginning, a sense of harmony, even among different perspectives, different things. Now, I know it's not always harmonious, and things are, but that was a wonderful thing. We were just talking about the joy of harmony. And the privilege when the saints get together and they stay together, right? That's a great thing. And as we've talked about the church, and we look at distinctions and descriptions of the church that God gives it, we've talked this morning about Christ. As we've said, he's the head. We're the members of the body. And in that membership, there are certain principles that should be lived out if we're healthy. Now, and one of those principles we turn to tonight is harmony. Harmony in the body. And so let's just look at some passages. We're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 12. We were there this morning, and we want to draw some more thoughts from that passage as we ponder the church. I think, you know, the Lord Jesus came into the world. And at this season, we think he came as a baby. And, of course, that's the big birthday announcement, right? But it was just 30-some years plus, a little bit later, when the church was born. So there's another birthday to celebrate. And we celebrate the birthday of the church. But we want to function like God designed the church to function. So we want to. That's why we're spending some time here. 1 Corinthians 12, and I want to read verse 22. And on the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Now, that sounds a little confusing, I think. One makes this observation. When dealing with our human bodies, we bestow more honor on our less honorable parts by covering them up. On the other hand, the more honorable parts, such as our face, I guess I thought to myself, I'm not sure if that's a more honorable part, but anyway, do not require special covering. So, you know, we just think you if you're going to let's say you're going to a wedding or something, right? And it's not a casual occasion. It's a dress up occasion. Well, you wear your best outfit, right? But you know the only thing that's really sticking out is your head, right? Everything else kind of covered, and you got this fancy suit on, and they think, oh man, what a great suit, right? Well, usually they don't say that to guys, but if the ladies have something special, they say, well, what a beautiful dress, right? Well, the more honorable parts, such as the face, do not require special covering. The point is that we take special pains, and I'm quoting, to honor our less esteemed physical members. And we should do the same in the church rather than neglecting or despising them. Now, with that in mind, just read on to verse 24. But God has so composed the body. He's so put the body together, the body of Christ, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. Isn't that interesting? Giving more abundant honor in God's perspective. A lot of times our measurement is not very accurate from God's perspective. So that, and this is the part, you know, we're all different. They're just amazing. You know, we look at some people and they think, whoa, they're just so amazing what they do. They're just amazing. And then other people kind of get overlooked. But notice what it says here. God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body. Remember we talked about this morning, diversity. There's a diversity, and that diversity is designed so that there might be harmony. And God does not want us to be divided. He wants us to see the value in each person in the body of Christ, each believer. Every believer has value to God. Christ died for that person. They're precious to Him, and they need to be precious to us. God has so composed the body that there should be no division in the body, because we need one another and cannot rightfully discard one another. Therefore, we logically are to work together in order to stay in harmony. Now, this thing, and we mentioned this morning, I mean, this is no new insight. It is hard to have harmony, because we're unique, we're different. Now, we have a flesh, we've said that many times, we have this sin capacity. So even as Christians, we can say things, do things that are hurtful. And some people who have been hurt can't forgive. And so, you know, sometimes it's such a mess, right? And we've seen churches, you know, they just tear at themselves, just tear themselves apart. And we need to pray that God will protect us. We need to pray that God will protect us, because Satan does not want us to be in harmony. He does not want us to survive. He loves to tear up the churches, the local churches, because then it brings dishonor to Christ. And people say, well, you know, we're talking about all these wonderful things about what the church is all about. And the world looks on and they say, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. You mean that group of people are united in Christ? There's no sign of that. And sometimes that's true. So we need to line up with who we are by God's Spirit to honor the Lord in our midst. I was just thinking all little things that sometimes become big things. Now, this is a very practical application. Nobody paid me to say this, okay? But I was thinking about, here's something to pray about practically. I was thinking about the Christmas dinner, okay? It's this upcoming weekend. Now, I'm saying this totally on my own. Dan and Lisa have faithfully ministered in that capacity so many times. Don't you think they've had a little rugged year? I think they need a little break. I mean, that's kind of my thought. They need a break. Now, Dick and Doreen have faithfully come alongside to give them a break. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And they're working so hard to make this happen. Now, don't you know this is the way life works? Somebody's going through line, and they're saying, the carrots aren't done, right? The potato, I don't know what we're having, but anyway, all those things. But, you know, it's so easy to make little dinky comments that are hurtful, right? And so I think, And now, this is where I'm going with this. You might think, I'm trying to have a happy Christmas. That's what we're doing. I'm trying to give Dick and Doreen a happy Christmas. Okay, now, but what I want to say is this. When in the body of Christ, whether it's that event or some other event, when somebody is needlessly critical or just carelessly critical, we need to protect one another in the body of Christ. We need to come along and say, you know what? Dick and Doreen worked so hard to make that happen. Now, again, they didn't pay me to say this. I'm just using this illustration. But I know how this works, right? You've been on, isn't it amazing? Sometimes when you've worked so hard, I don't know what it is, but you've worked so hard. Maybe it's getting a Sunday school class together, maybe it's whatever it is. You know, think of the time, you know, that you did the baptistry, right? That was a lot of hard work, right? And so you're working so hard, and when you're so exhausted, that's when Satan loves to have somebody come along and say something. That's a sniping comment, right? They may not even have thought it was a big deal. But we need to protect one another in the body of Christ. And also not to just protect each other, but to protect the harmony. Protect our unity. This is not a brag, but God has given us a wonderful group of people. You know, we're not perfect, but there's a lot of wonderful things. Satan would love to just rip this thing all apart. Let's pray for protection. Let's pray for a happy Christmas dinner. Let's pray for that when the kids do the presentation out of here. Let's pray that really goes well. That's a wonderful opportunity, by the way, because when unbelievers are sitting, which there will be unbelievers, grandmas, grandpas, and they'll be out there and they'll be looking. May we show our unity with each other to them, the way we relate to each other. And pray for them. I'm sure Lisa, it amazes me how they put this together year after year after year, right? Pray for them. But these are things, you know, it's little things that sometimes become big deals. So God wants us to have harmony. And, you know, it's not always, sometimes we have to bite our tongue. Sometimes we have to just forgive. Sometimes we have to say, I'm sorry. Sometimes we just have to say, you know what, that's not really true. I mean, it could be a variety of things. But what we're trying to do is honor the Lord by staying in harmony with each other. Harmony. It's an important thing for us. He loves each of us. He wants us to get along. Now, I know sometimes it's harder than others. We've all been shot at, you know, the old cowboy expression, shot out of the saddle. We've all been shot out of the saddle, right? Well, you maybe never rode a horse, but you know what it means, right? You fell off, right? You got hit, and bam, bam, gone down. Let's protect each other. Okay. Harmony and then ministry. As believers in the body, there is this ministry. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:25 again. That the members may have the same care for one another. And you know how it is. Now again, we're using this picture of the physical body with the spiritual body. If you get a sticker in your foot, unless you're a crybaby and you make your wife do it, or, you know. But you've been down, you try to get some tweezers, and you use your hand to get the sticker out of your foot, right? I mean, that's just the way it works. Your hand ministers to your foot. Now, I hope I'm not getting too graphic here. Maybe something's hurting. But anyway, but you're just saying, well, that's the way this body works. We minister. You know, your body functions, and thank the Lord, you know, for your fingers. And I was saying to Jack, I think it was Jack today we were talking, but you know, when I got off the farm, I was so glad I had all my fingers. Because, you know, farm life is kind of tough. It's easy to have a bad mistake and lose a finger or something. But anyway, I use all my fingers, right? And poor Marty, she probably wouldn't want me to say this, but you know, she has a lot of arthritis in her fingers. So she can't do some of the things she used to be able to do now because the fingers don't work right. But you need all the parts of the body. If for us to feel well, we need everything to work. So we're to minister to one another. That's the picture. We care for one another. Care for each other. Now notice this. This is verse 26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And I think, isn't that true? If someone's hurting, we all, even though it may not be noticed initially, we all suffer in some measure. But also the fact is, when one brother or sister suffers, we should come along and and try to minister to them in their time of need. I think it's one of the wonderful things that goes on. And again, I'm not trying to embarrass people, but I think of the ladies that minister and visit people. Like, and I know it's embarrassing, but Elaine is, and Lisa and others who visit people. That's a wonderful thing. And I know Hazel, she used to go feed Margaret, you know, and Janice, and they, you know, care for people. So when one of us is suffering, that's an opportunity for another to minister. Now, in a very positive way, it's not always when we're suffering, but sometimes just to build one another up. Let's go to a passage outside of the 1 Corinthians. I want to read in Ephesians 4:16. Ephesians 4:16, and I read this to you. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, again, remember that picture of the physical body, and now it's a spiritual body, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that, by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Each of us has a part in the body of Christ to minister to it and to build it up. And we all have different facets. We all have different capabilities. We have different giftings. We have different opportunities. We're at different ages and stages and all of those things. But we are to come together to minister to one another so that we build up one another. I mean, here, just think. People that built this building, we're sitting in a warm, comfy building tonight, right? Somebody ministered to us, and some of the somebodies are already with the Lord, but we were ministered to by that. Other people make sure the lights are on, the things work, and Jack played for us, and Jim's back there on the sound, and all of those things are working together, so that all of us are built up. We're built up. And obviously part of it is the word. We hear the word. We have opportunity to hear the word. We sing. We sing songs that teach us the word as well. And it builds us up. It builds us up. It encourages us. Wouldn't it be a sad thing? You know, I've said this before. Wouldn't it be a sad thing if you were the only Christian in Peterborough? Just think. If you were, now, some places around the world, because of persecution, they might not even know if there are other believers in that community. But that they feel so alone. And think of some of those dear, dear Christians who are in those countries where, you know, to be a Christian is a death sentence. And so, you know, some of those who have responded to Ron and his radio ministry. And so they sign in. And I was reading one thing yesterday where it said they've crossed over, which in their language means they've become a believer. And now, and it said of that person, they're scared to death of being dead. Right? And so, but we have this wonderful, wonderful proof. God has designed the church to come together. Isn't it interesting in those countries where you could be put to death if you got together in a group, or at least jailed, how people will still make a sacrifice to get together? Why is that? Because it's important. We need each other. We need other people to encourage us and share with us. We need to be built up, so we minister to one another. It's a really sad thing when somebody, you know, I've exposed to this. I've had dealt with people on this. You know, they get upset. They're upset, and they've been hurt, and whatever. And sometimes they're just upset, and they just leave. And I'm not so much thinking here. I'm thinking, you know, previous experiences. They get upset, and they get out of shape, and man, they're out of there. But what happens to that person? Well, usually they shrivel spiritually. If they were a believer, they just shrivel. And they're angry and upset. And their Christian life, if they're a genuine believer, their Christian life just kind of zips out. It's gone. And we want to be one another, with one another, for one another, building up one another. Ministry to one another. Now, you might think, you know, and I know many, many of you already know where God has you in the body. But, you know, what is your gifting? One of the ways, you know, people say, well, I don't know what my gifting is. One of the ways is just to serve. God brings opportunity. You serve in that capacity. You learn. I remember the first time I was asked to teach a high school bunch of boys. Now, that was like, you know, do you want to walk the plank, right? You know, these guys were, you know, they didn't really want to be there, you know. And, you know, who's this dude? You know, because I was kind of a fly in. I hadn't grown up in that church at all. And so I went in, and God's grace was abundant because I didn't kill him. I mean, that was an amazing thing, right? But, you know, God taught me some things through that. He taught me, you know, I mean, I need to grow a lot in this. I'm not very good at this. But there was a few little successes, and, you know, but God used that. And I was willing at that point, and I did that. But, you know, God gives opportunities. I remember when we lived in Wichita, Kansas, Marty had a friend. They were co-workers, and she was a Christian, way out, not walking with the Lord, and going with this guy who was not a Christian. It was a mess, but he got saved. And so we started having this Bible study with him. Now, I only say that to say this. We started, you know, that gave me a real heart to learn the Bible so I'd have something to share. And that was one of the things, that was actually one of the things God pried me to, you know, like a crowbar pried me to go on to get more training, more education. Now, you don't have to go get a seminary, I'm not saying that. But it was the way God used me. I was just available, and he used me, and then things just kind of kept coming. But you use, as God uses you where you're at, you're faithful where you're at, God will show you more and more what your gifting is. And then he'll give you, you know, the best way to prepare for the whatever God wants you to do is be faithful right where you're at. Be faithful in little things. Be faithful right where, and I know I'm talking to the choir. I know that. You know, so many faithful people in this assembly, and I thank you for that. But that's part of the way we figure out where God wants to use us. Now, let's just talk. That's members in the body. And I want to just talk a few other pictures before we quit. Now, and that's where I was out shoveling my driveway off, and I'd seen this several times. It's been out in the driveway. If you want that for Christmas, you can have it. But anyway, and I was looking at that, and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to use that tonight. We're pictured as a branch. Christ is a vine, we're the branches. That's another picture of the church. Let's go to, you know the passage, John 15. Let's go to John 15 just a moment. The Lord Jesus said in verse 1, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Christ is the vine, or we could say the source. He's the source for our Christian life. Notice verse 4. I love this passage. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, think of that. Think of your Christmas gift. Think of this. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in a vine. No more leaves on this thing broken off, right? No drawing from life. And that's true. Now, you can't lose your salvation. You can't, you know, we understand you can't be saved and then not saved. But some Christians live, they're just not really staying connected. They're not enjoying the Lord. And so, I mean, they might have a little leaf over here and, you know, a teeny bit of green here. But really, there's not much happening. And it's so sad when life gets like that. I think this is a good definition. I want to read this definition to you. It's long. It's kind of long. But I think it has a lot of helpful insight. And I'll read it to you, and I know on one read it's probably not going to be as helpful as it would be if you had it in front of you, but I'll just read it. To abide in Christ means the continued exercise of faith in him. Now, we're not talking about initial faith. That's trusting him for our salvation. But this is ongoing faith. Faith, which is the very breath of the new nature. When you become a believer, you have faith, a measure of faith. You might have a little faith, but there's still faith. which realizes, this faith realizes constantly that Christ is all and that depends on him for everything and knows its utter helplessness apart from him. Now, I think, you know, really using the word abide, and 1 John uses this word quite a bit. John 15 obviously uses it a lot. But it talks about a closeness with Christ as we have faith in Christ through the Word. Now, this author goes on to say this. As a result of such dependence, the believer clings close to him and lives the life of close and intimate communion with him. We stay close through faith. We see his truth. We believe his truth. We hold to him. We stay tight with him. That's why I was reading this little quote of E.M. Bounds. Last night, I think I read this quote. It's a little, one of those little calendar things, you know, you turn and you read a quote. And he said, I start my morning. I said, I need at least an hour to start my morning. I thought, well, I probably should think about this. But anyway, but he's the closeness, staying close to the Lord, starting close to the Lord. And you know, when we read through, God has different ways of bringing our attention to the Lord and how, but it's that sense of need. I don't think we abide in Christ unless we remember we need him. We need him. We're saved by him, but we need him daily to bear fruit. Because fruit really is his life flowing through us by way of the Spirit. You know, we think the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, so on. Those are characteristics. That's the life of Christ lived out through a person. That's the characteristics of the Lord Jesus. And that does not happen just because I think, well, I'm going to be more loving today. Well, it might be a good thought. But I need, if I'm going to be loving, I should be obedient. I'm commanded to be loving. But I draw on Christ's strength to be loving. I draw on his strength. I don't have that kind of love. Now, it's easy to love my grandma when she's not fussy, right? But, we were in Canadian Tire the other day. And she's only two. Emma's, I just love her pieces. But anyway, we're just getting ready to leave. She says, I got to go to the bathroom. I thought, oh man, grandpas do not do bathroom. But anyway, we did, right? But loving her, right? Even when she's a fuss button, which that happens very, very rarely. That's when I send her home. But anyway, you know, loving the people that are not my granddaughter, right? Loving people that don't like me, don't like you. That's a Christ thing. So we abide, we're branches, we're dependent, we're absolutely inadequate without Christ. And as we draw on him, we can bear fruit. And he says in verse 8, bear much fruit. Isn't that what we want? We want to bear much fruit. I mean, that's when we stand before the Lord. That's really one of the big deals. When we stand before the Lord, he looks at us and says, well done. Be good and faithful servant, right? Well, that if you're a good and faithful servant, it's because you drew on the resource you have in Christ, and through the Spirit of God, he made this apparent in you and through you. In verse 5 again, I am the vine, the Lord Jesus says, you are the branches. He who abides in me draws on me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart, and this is the thing we got to remember, apart from me, you can do zippo. Nothing. Remember that. You know, sometimes people, I think this is a failure sometimes with young believers. We just say, well, just, you know, we basically say, just do good, just do good, just do good. Well, I understand that. I mean, we want young believers to obey. We want to obey, but we need to remind them it's trust and obey. Trust and obey. Trust him to give us the strength to obey. Move out in obedience. Don't wait around, but move out trusting. He's my strength. He's my resource. And so we move out, we abide in him. We want to bear much fruit. And just remember this. Every believer is inadequate on their own to bear fruit for God. On our own. Christ alone is sufficient to bear fruit that is acceptable to God. He's the one that makes it genuine, real. You know, like you're going to, we have all these, you know, Christmas decorations, and so many of them are fake, right? They're pretty, but they're fake. We got a fake tree. It's beautiful, but it hasn't grown any. In fact, it's losing stuff, right? It's getting old like me. It's losing stuff. We need reality. Therefore, we must increasingly abide in Christ to bear fruit that glorifies God. And then we'll hear him say, well done, well done. May we not be like that old branch that isn't bearing fruit. Now, let me just share another example and then one more. The church, and we know this, this is so often presented in Scripture, the church is a family. Let's go to John 20. John 20, 17, if you want to turn with me. And what I think is so amazing about this, we could go to a multitude of passages on this, but John 20, 17, this after his resurrection, okay? Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me. Remember, she was clinging, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go, I love this, go to my brethren. Go to my brethren. And then he says, and say to them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father. God is our Father. As a believer in Christ, we're placed into the family of God. God is our Father. He is not, God is a God. I mean, God created all people. In that sense, he's a father. But he is only a close, intimate, real father with those who are his kids who have come to faith in Christ. When the world said, well, we're all God's kids. Well, we're all God's kids because creation. But we're not all God's kids unless there's renewal and salvation. Right? But when we're saved, we come into the family. It's like I'm accepted. You know, my heart breaks. We had several young people who were kind of like Kelly and Andrea. I respect them for their, you know, caring for kids. But we had several kids. They didn't stay with us a long time. But, you know, they didn't have any family life. It was all broken up, and they came to live with us, and their life was all broken up. And you just think, oh, man, what is it like to be just shuffled about and have no somebody says, hey, son, let me give you a hug. Right? I mean, I said, I talked to both of my boys this week, and Wayne called me up, and, you know, as some of you know, he's in Texas, and he called me up, and I was talking, we had a nice little visit. I said, I love you, son. I tell him, I think that every time. I want him to remember, I love him. And then and Chris called me, we were talking yesterday, I almost always say, love you, son. I want them to know, I love them. And God our Father, this is a lot bigger deal because he's the perfect Father. I'm an inadequate Father. He's the perfect Father. He says to you, I love you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I love you. And we know we're a part of the family. And then he says, we're brethren and sister. Let's brothers and sisters, right? Brethren sounds like our background. But anyway, it's not just, the brethren is a good thing. Okay? It's a good thing. So if you're a brethren, but it's not just a group, a unique group. We're brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to show you a few passages. Now we know we're only become children of God through faith in Christ. And I just want to read this. This is a classic. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Isn't that awesome? Believe in it. Children of God, how you get a child? Believe in his name. Trust in Christ. We're in God's family. We're loved by the Father. Now, I want to go to 1 Thess for just a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And again, just a reminder how family works. 1 Thessalonians 1:4. Knowing, brethren, beloved by God. Isn't that awesome? Brethren, I mean, I know. Let's say, brothers and sisters, loved by God. It doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't, because it has eternal implications. You know, I love my sons, but there's so many things I couldn't do for them if I wanted to. I'm little, I'm dinky. I don't have all the stuff that I might want to dump on them, right? They probably don't need it anyway. But God the Father loves us, and He blesses us with eternal treasure and an eternal home. And we're going to spend eternity with Him. And the awesome thing is we'll have that sense of perfect family there. Excuse me. Now, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4, because this family thing relates not only to our Father, but to each other. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Now, as to the love of the brother. Okay, we're supposed to love each other. Love of the brother. Love one another. You have no need for anyone to write to you. This is an exceptional church, by the way. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. See, one of the big things about a healthy family is love, right? We know that. That makes sense. But read on. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren. This is amazing. They were loving everybody. There weren't all this group, that group. You know, we're not, you know, it wasn't that. They were loving everybody. You who are in all Macedonia. This is amazing. They were loving everybody in Peterborough, everybody in Ontario. Every believer they knew, they loved. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. You know what? It's one thing about love. You never can say, I have arrived. I've got it all. Oh, man, I'm a real loving person, right? About that time, the Lord taps you on the shoulder and say, hey, how about so-and-so? How about so-and-so? Remember? How about so-and-so? You say, whoops, yeah, well, I got to bite in the vine again, right? We are to excel. That's part of healthy family. Healthy family, loving. Think of all the people that come through here. And people here, let's think of people sitting here this morning. God wants us to love those people. I mean, and that means, what love means, it doesn't mean be all gushy necessarily, but it means I do my, when I know what's best for them and I'm able to do that, I do that. I do what's best for a person. If I love them, I do what's best for them. Now, that doesn't always mean I'm always cushy and soft. Sometimes you have to be tough. Love, if I want to do what's best, just like we said many times, if I'm dealing with, again, my grandkids or my kids when they were little, or if there's something that's going to harm them, I'm going to say no to that. They're not going to, oh, you don't love me. Right? Remember how that worked? Right? Yeah, you don't love me. Yeah, that's right. I'm having a trouble tone today, right? When I get the fussing. I remember I used to struggle with that. But if I love them, I'm going to protect them from themselves sometimes, right? And we, now notice this. I think this is where it caught my attention. I wanted to read it. Notice chapter 5. We're still in this thing of love, but here's some tough love, as well as tender love. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. We urge you, brethren. Notice brethren. Don't miss that brethren. Admonish the unruly. If I love someone and they're messing up their life, I should tell them. Admonish the unruly. In our culture, the way we define love, be nice and soft. It's always nice and soft. Nice and soft sometimes is not love. Love tells the truth, right? Now, we don't tell it. We're not trying to be mean or harsh. We're trying to love people who are hurting themselves. Admonish the unruly. That is, there's a place for that. Now, we're not trying to beat up Christians. We're trying to love them. Encourage the faint-hearted. Isn't that neat how those two go together? Think how many Christians are just so discouraged. They just need somebody to come along and pat them on the back, give them a hug, whatever, right? Encourage the faint-hearted. Think of all those people we're praying for. Don't you imagine some of them are pretty faint-hearted right now? Faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. So, genuine love sometimes is tender, sometimes it's tough. It depends on what a person needs. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:25-27. Brethren, pray for us. I like the whole Thessalonian thing because they really did this well, this whole thing of love. But notice, brethren, pray for us. In family, we pray for one another. In a healthy family, we pray for one another. And that happens, right? Isn't that an awesome thing when people are praying? I think that's great. Brethren, pray for us. And then notice, we don't really practice this 26 too much. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Emphasize holy, right? We don't, we're not going to get too mushy. But anyway, that's the fellowship, fellowship. And then, I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. We need people praying for us, and we need the word of God shared with us. And this have this letter read. That was the word of God. First Thessalonians was God's word, part of God's word. Have it read. And thank the Lord, this is the place we can do it. That's just part of being. I mean, there's so many other things about family. But we're to be healthy family, healthy family, healthy family. It doesn't mean we're perfect family, but healthy, we work through. I was thinking about this. I thought this was, I don't know why it came to my mind, but my dad was raised in a family of 12 siblings. Now, some of them were Christians, some of them weren't Christians. But I was thinking about family reunions. And they used to have, I don't know if it's still, I don't think it goes on every year now, because, you know, actually, I think only one of the siblings is still alive. But I remember going to those family reunions, and it was a big group of people, because some of the siblings had a lot of family. So these were big things, right? Big deals. I mean, you'd have in a gymnasium, you know, at a school or something. But you know what amazes me? And I was thinking back to this. Even the unbelievers in that family, they still got along. Now, I know it wasn't an easy situation sometimes, because I know some of the things some of them did, right? But it was amazing to me. When that reunion would happen, they got along. Now, we as Christians, if we're in family, we need to work at getting along, right? We're family. Keep loving one another, even in our imperfections. Now, let me just close with this. I know I'm running a little slow, but I'm always running slow. But anyway, I'm sorry about that. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 3:15. I just want to conclude with this. This is a part we need to pray for a lot. Now, all these things we need to pray for. First Timothy. 1 Timothy 3:15. But in case I am delayed, Paul writes, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God. Well, how's that? The church of God. How do we do? Which is, and I want to highlight this, which is the church of the living God, okay? We're part of the church of the living God. And notice this, the pillar and support of the truth. The pillar and support of the truth. The church is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and support of the truth. In Ephesus, there was this, and you've probably heard of this, historically there was this temple to Diana, obviously to this false god. This temple, it had 127 pillars. It must have been, amazing to see this temple. And so when Paul, a lot of times he uses a picture historically in the setting of the culture to make a point. And so he uses, apparently, I mean, they knew all about pillars, right? They knew all about pillars. I mean, they see this thing, it was on the hill. It was just outstanding, you know. The church is a pillar and support of the truth. Now, pillar. One thing, if you had this tall, tall pillar, and then you have a cap on it, you know, you got this roof on it, it would display this thing. The church is to display the truth in our culture. Display it. Let it be known. It also is a support of the truth. Now, of course, a pillar is holding stuff up, right? Holding it up. And I think the implication is for us, we're to support it. Now, obviously, the truth is bigger than we are. But we as a church are to support it. We're to display it. And I think to defend it. We're to proclaim it. Now, this is not a popular thing to do in a secular culture, right? But the church is to be like a pillar, and we're to display the truth and to defend the truth when necessary. Now, the truth really doesn't need our defense, but it's so warped in our culture, we have to clarify that. We have to share that. Now, part of that is we just do what we do here, right? Part of that is Awana. What happens at Awana when these little ones are hearing the truth? They're not going to get that. For the most part, they're not going to get anything about God at school. Most of them, you know, like, they were talking, I think it was Mrs. Kearney is the one that shared with us, you know. One little kid said, well, how is David Marshall in his teaching? Oh, he's pretty good, except he cussed a lot. What do you mean he cussed a lot? Out of Hope Valley, it's kind of an unusual place to cuss. He kept talking about Jesus. The only little boy, the only thing he knew about Jesus was a cuss word. Our culture is not going to display and defend the truth, but we have an opportunity to. May God help us. May God give us a lot of wisdom. Pray for us elders. Pray for the church. Pray that we'll hold the truth up. May God help us be a healthy family, but also a courageous family. We hold up the truth. We speak of the truth. We're not trying to be arrogant, but we want to honor the Lord. So may God help us. Pray for the church. May God, this is a wonderful, God loves His church. May we love His church. May we function like His church. May we be pleasing to Him. So when we stand before Him, He says, hey, well done, good and faithful saints from Edmondson Heights. Well done. God alone can make that happen, right? He alone can make that happen. Let's pray. God, we need help. You know that. Protect us as a family. Protect us as a church. Protect us as a pillar and support of the truth. God, just help us. Help us love You and love Your word and be pleasing to You as Your people. God, we need help. We thank You that You're there for us. Christ is the vine. We're the branches. May we draw on our sufficiency in Him. In His name. Amen.